And good morning, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Other Side of Midnight. That interesting transition time between dusk and dawn where things we kind of hear around the water cooler and we say, oh, give me a break. That can't possibly be real. They're saying that. Ah, come on. When you tune into this show at this time of night and we present evidence, and boy, are we going to present evidence this morning. The things that we dismiss, the things that we dismiss out of ignorance because we don't know that someone else has figured it out or found it, those are the things we talk about here on The Other Side of Midnight. Now, let me do a couple of housekeeping items. Time has really flitted, and tomorrow morning show, Saturday morning, is going to be our last show on the Dark Matter Digital Network. As I have said many times, we are moving. We're in the transitions. Tomorrow is a very big day. So tomorrow night, what I'm going to do is spend the 2 hours describing the move and where we're going to go and how you can find us and all the appurtenances and just talk to you about what you'd like to see, new things in the show. I know you want 3 hours. Yes, that's kind of a given. We'll see, okay? Walk before you run, et cetera, et cetera. Remember, I'm not launching the Enterprise the way Gene and the other guys did every damn movie. Oh, it's not ready, Captain. I can't, you know, bang, whatever. If you go to othersideofmidnight.com and in the upper right-hand corner, click on Radio with Pictures. That takes you to tonight's guest page. Scroll down to My Items at the top under Radio with Pictures. Item number one, Are We Alone? There is a new academic study, the timing I find remarkable, released literally the day after my birthday. That was kind of interesting. And let me click over to it here. We have two stories. We have the story, which is the press release from the University of Rochester. There are two scientists, prime scientists, on this research paper, a Dr. Frank and a Dr. Sullivan. Dr. Sullivan is in Washington State at the University of Washington, and Dr. Frank is at the University of Rochester. Anyway, what they've done in this new paper is to reassess the so-called Drake equation, and this paper has been published in Astrobiology, so if you click on the link that is provided tonight on Other Side of Midnight, and then you go into that paper and scroll down four very skinny paragraphs, right there, it's got a live link published in Astrobiology, which takes you to the paper and the whole theory and everything. But what they're doing is they're trying to assess for the entire universe based on current mainstream science the probability that we are the only technological civilization ever to have existed in all of time and space. I mean, think about that. Think about the hubris of being a scientist, you know, at the University of Rochester and imagining you're sitting there at your laptop or your iPad or whatever, and you're the only conscious entity in the entire universe that's ever done that or is ever going to do that. Anyway, so what these guys have done is they've turned the equation around, the so-called Drake equation, which tries to estimate based on numbers that we really can't know, on parameters that we really don't know. They tried to turn it around and estimate the lower bound, the lower probability that there has ever been an intelligent race in the universe except us. In the whole history of, you know, the universe, 13.7 billion years is the current Hubble estimate. And they come up with a number which, in terms of our galaxy, means that from the beginning of the formation of the Milky Way, like maybe 10 billion years ago, there have been something like 60 billion, with a B, 60 billion technological civilizations that have arisen and fallen in the Milky Way galaxy alone. That's under the most pessimistic assumptions these two scientists have put together based on a new reading of the Drake equation because of new data from the Kepler Space Telescope. Because a lot of the Drake equation has to do with planetary and stellar parameters of other star systems that we had no idea what they were when Frank wrote that equation back in 1960-61 at Green Bank Observatory. How far we have come. Now, that segues elegantly and smoothly into our conversation this morning with someone. Again, I kind of say this for an awful lot of guests, and it's true. I mean, one of the neatest ways to get to meet interesting people is to get your own international global radio show. And then people like Dr. Samir Osmanagic come on and spend 2 hours talking about astonishing things. And the astonishing things are going to be the idea that if there has been previous galactic civilizations which have come and gone, what about very ancient civilizations on this planet that have come and gone, that have been apparently unrecognized by mainstream archaeology and academia for hundreds of years? Because when they've been noticed, they've been quietly shunted aside, as folks are trying to do now with what we're going to be talking about this morning. So let me get a little more formal. Dr. Osmanagic is a Bosnian-born, Houston, USA resident, an author, researcher, and businessman. He discovered an ancient pyramid complex in Visoko, Bosnia-Herzegovina, consisting to date of 11 artificial structures: the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun, the Bosnian Pyramid of the Moon, the Bosnian Pyramid of Love, the Bosnian Pyramid of the Dragon, the Temple of Mother Earth, Vatronika Tumulus, Dolovi Tumulus, Ginji Tumulus, the KTK Tunnels, and the underground labyrinth Ravni and Ravni II tunnels, all of which have been found in this complex that Osmanagic has been investigating for the last several years. I could go on, but it's all there on othersideofmidnight.com on the Radio with Pictures page. Just scroll down. There's a very lengthy list. I don't want to spend a lot of time doing intros because I want to get to the good stuff, which is, Dr. Sam, what in the world have you found on the other side of this planet? Because you're talking to us this morning from Serbia.
Hello, good morning, Richard. I'm talking to you from Sarajevo, Bosnia.
I'm sorry.
The heart of Balkan. Now, what we have discovered is the first pyramidal complex in Europe and the biggest and the oldest pyramids on the planet. It's a huge discovery. Dates to spring of 2005. And in the last 11 years, the Bosnian pyramid investigation has become the most active archaeological site in the world. Every year, hundreds of volunteers, researchers, our workers, they come to help us dig the Bosnian pyramids and the most extensive prehistorical underground tunnel network. And we attract 50,000 tourists and visitors, and all of that with no help of the government money. The project has been run by the non-profit, non-government foundation, which I established under the name the Archaeological Park Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun Foundation.
Why isn't the Bosnian government contributing to this archaeological research?
You see, when in spring of 2005, I first came to the town of Visoko, which is about 20 miles northwest from the capital city of Sarajevo. I came to see the local museum, and then I saw this, as they called it, hill with four sides, triangular faces, perfect orientation to the cardinal points. I immediately knew that it was an artificial structure.
Okay, if you hold there for a second, if people go to othersideofmidnight.com and they click on our homepage, we have a number of images that you have posted in Radio with Pictures this morning. If you scroll up under mine, you find Dr. Sam's items. Number one is an aerial view of this pyramid complex just outside Sarajevo, right?
Yes, excellent. So, if they can see the first photo, this is actually the image that I saw in April of 2005. I came to see the local museum. And then I could see this, four sides, triangular faces.
No, wait. Those things at the bottom left and the bottom of the image, that's a village.
That is the town of Visoko, 20,000 people there.
And that pyramid is on that scale compared to that village?
Exactly right. And now imagine, those people have been looking at the pyramid for ages. Now, the reason why they did not notice the pyramid, obviously, is they thought the pyramids are tombs for pharaohs in Egypt. And they know, of course, the desert, the blocks on top of each other, and great Egyptian civilization. The people were not aware that actually the most pyramids on the planet have been covered by soil and vegetation. You go to China, 250 of them in the central province of Shanxi are covered by 1 meter, 3-4 feet of soil. Thousands of pyramids in Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, Belize, also in the jungles, in the forests. 95% of the Mayan pyramids are actually still hidden from our view. But anyway, I've been researching pyramids. My PhD is on Mayan studies. I've written more than 15 books about the pyramids and ancient civilizations. So when I came to this little town to see the local museum, and I saw this...
And what year again was this?
So it was 2005, 11 years ago.
11 yes. years. I've been following the story from afar, as you know, because we've corresponded. You've invited me to your conferences. We've never talked, which was a shame because we should have done that a long time ago. But it seems like yesterday. It's been 11 years?
It's been 11 years and a lot of fun along the journey. So you asked me, you know, why the government was not supporting us. Well, you see, I saw the biggest pyramid. Then I went to the University of Sarajevo. I went to the National Museum, offered them to collaborate, investigating the pyramids. But they were basically laughing at me. They were saying, well, we never had pharaohs in Bosnia, therefore we cannot have pyramids, which was not a very scientific approach.
No.
So fine. We started excavation, we started geological core drilling.
Now, how can you start an excavation in the middle of a country if the government doesn't want to help you and the land...
It was like this, you know.
Who owned the pyramid? Who owned that mountain?
Well, it was half-half. Half is the private owners, private landlords, half is the government land.
Okay.
Well, you see, I established the non-profit foundation, which was registered by Ministry of Justice for the archaeological research. And then I got permission to do some preliminary research, archaeological digging, and so on. So we actually started excavation in 2006. And in the beginning, the federal government, the regional government, the municipality, they were helping us financially because the tourists were coming to Bosnia because of the pyramids. However, the cultural establishment, when they saw that we are actually finding proofs for our hypothesis, that we are finding blocks on the Sun Pyramid, that we are finding underground tunnels, they wrote a petition to Bosnian government asking them to stop the project. I mean...
Wasn't that kind of blatant? They didn't want to know? They didn't want to change the paradigm?
Now, imagine if I claim that under the soil is a structure, the only way to find out is to dig. Well, they asked the government to stop digging. Obviously, they had something to fear, unlike us. Well, the government rejected the petition. They got very upset.
Oh.
They wrote to Anthony Harding, which was the president of European Archaeological Association, asking his help to stop the project. And then he organized a second petition, signed by his good friends from Germany, France, UK, and US. Telling the Bosnian government there are no pyramids there, they should stop this nonsense, we have no experts, we're going to be destroying existing sites, and so on and so forth, without a single proof.
Mm.
They thought once they sign their names with their positions and titles, we're going to get scared and stop. Well, we never got scared. We kept digging, Bosnian government rejecting the second petition. However, even in Bosnia, people are polarized, in politics also. Some of them, especially those who come to the sites and see what we do, they are big supporters. Some of them who don't come, they don't believe. So,
What's the population of Bosnia-Herzegovina?
Bosnia is 3.5 million people. It's
okay.
A small
country. And of those people, how many Bosnians have actually been to the pyramids and seen what you've been doing?
Probably about 200,000.
Which in a small country is a large number of people.
It's a large number, and I would say you go and talk to common people, and regardless if they came or not, they are very supportive. However, you go higher up, people have different interests. Now imagine the school teacher, the professors at the university, they've been teaching kids, the pyramids are built in Egypt and Mexico, and that's it. The civilization started 4,500 years ago, or with Sumerians 7,000 years ago. Now, all of a sudden, Because of Bosnian pyramids, we need to move this timeline for tens of thousands of years. Now we need to include the pyramid builders on European soil. So the history books are not good. People don't like that because their PhDs are not good. Their the way they teach kids is wrong. They like to keep the status quo. So they started attacking us. But regardless of their attacks, we kept working. And like I said, today this is the most attractive and the most active archaeological site in the world. Our sites are open 12 months a year. And people are coming every day of the week, and we are happy about it. So, last 5-6 years, I don't have any financial contributions from the government or any government bodies. And besides, Bosnia is the least developed European country, little money in the budget, and people really don't care about the archaeology and the culture.
Dr. Sam, let me stop you there, because Zahi Hawass, who, of course, you know very well, has basically made his career on bringing tourism to Egypt. He did He did specials, television, he did one I was involved in with Vox and all that. And he got an awful lot of tourists up until the
2010.
The spring, you know, the Egyptian spring, until that kind of closed things down. Why can't the government of Bosnia get behind you like the government of Egypt got behind Zahi to bring tourism, to bring tourist dollars, to bring research dollars, to get to the bottom of this, to make Bosnia a center of culture on the planet?
Well, there is one major difference. Dr. Zahi Hawass, he'd been the head of the Supreme Council of Egyptian Antiquities. So he had the power. He was number one in their cultural establishment. In my case, I do not belong to the cultural establishment. I came from Houston, and I'm not an insider. I started my non-profit foundation. So the cultural establishment is actually against our project, and they have a lot of influence over the political bodies of the country. And then, yes, you would say it's so logical that the government and everybody else lined up behind you, helping you, but nothing in this country is logical. Even when government levels were giving us money, they were expecting us to give them 20 or 30% of the money back, and I never do that. So I'm not really of great interest for them. I said, fine, we don't have money, we don't have support, but we do have permits, so we're going to get paid through the tourism. So yes, 5-6 years ago, we had 10,000 visitors. Now we have 50,000 visitors. Hopefully, 5 years from now, we're going to have 200,000. And then we're going to completely self-finance the digging. And instead of 35 people on the payroll every summer, we might have 100 people. So it's coming a little bit slower, but it is coming. Because, Richard, what we have here, the heart of Europe, is the most exciting thing. Now imagine, after you see pyramids in China, covered by soil, Mexico or Guatemala, you come to Bosnia, your home country, because I was born in Yugoslavia. At that time, Bosnia was part of Yugoslavia. Mm-hmm. You never thought about the pyramids. And now all of a sudden, you have the biggest pyramid on the planet in your neighborhood. The Great Pyramid of Egypt is 147 meters, right? Which is about, 475 feet. Mm-hmm. The Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun, over 220 meters, over 720 feet. So this is the largest pyramid ever built on the face of the planet. Now, this...
I missed that last number. How large on a side?
Over 720 feet.
Okay.
Over 120 feet, and the second largest pyramid in Bosnia, the Bosnian Pyramid of the Moon, 190 meters, which is about 600 feet, also bigger than the Great Pyramid of Egypt. Mm. So no wonder that the same Zahi Hawass was against our project. What he did, he sent three of his experts to Bosnia. The first one was Dr. Ali Barakat. geologist with 40 years of experience in archaeology and geology. He wrote a book about Egyptian pyramids. Spent 42 days in Bosnia. He even discovered one pyramid. He wrote a scientific report, which he read at the press conference in Sarajevo in 2006, and he ended it with the words, "The Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun is a man-made pyramid." He went back to Egypt, and they fired him.
Oh my God.
They said, "You betrayed your country by claiming that Bosnia has bigger pyramids than Egypt."
So wait a minute. Mine is bigger than yours? That's what it came down to? Zahi fired this guy?
Unfortunately. And
where is he now?
Then he went to work for the company from United Arab Emirates in the coal mining.
I was going to say, could you hire him?
Almost, if I could afford. And then he sent Lamia Al-Hadidi. She has her master's in archaeology. When she discovered some sites on the moon pyramid with the vertical walls, she immediately called Zahi in my presence. Mm-hmm. She said, "Zahi, you have to come. This is a huge discovery." He never did. So finally, he sent his very best friend, Mohammed Ibrahim Ali, professor. He's in charge of Supreme Antiquities right now. He came, Mohammed Ibrahim Ali. He became a good friend. He said, "Well, this is something. These are temples or pyramids or something. You need to research it." However, Zahi, because of political reasons, he didn't want this, you know, discovery to come to the public. You know, he was so against it, and he ordered at that time all his, you know, researchers and scientists to be against this project. So a lot of, you know, attacks, obstacles. But then when you see, when your cultural establishment is against you, when European Archaeological Association is against you, when leading American or Egyptian archaeologists are against you, what do? Normal people simply give up.
Hmm.
But we have never given up, because you don't give up your noble goals, your scientific means, and your dreams.
Well, let me ask a question, kind of a dumb question maybe. If Zahi's been doing television for the last couple of decades, like he has, why can't you do live television from the Bosnian pyramids and take people through on tours and show them some of the things we're going to talk about in a few minutes about energy? And in other words, make a global television spectacle, crowdsource it so you raise funds for the additional research from people, do in science what Bernie Sanders is doing in politics, raise a lot of money from a lot of different people. We have two crowdfunding research projects being sponsored by this show right now. We could add another. We could add two more, maybe. The point is that the era of academic censorship is over. The number of people voting with their feet to come and see this is astonishing. And this is the first time, Sam, I've heard that two accredited academics that Zahi sent personally to see what's going on have told him it's real, because the guy that I know and trust in geology and archaeology came back and told me it was not real. And I knew he was not telling me the truth.
Right. Well, to answer that question, 2006, 7, and 8, our first years, I was inviting a number of producers from UK, US, and Canada. They would come to Bosnia. They were very supportive. They would submit their scripts to National Geographic and Discovery. And guess who was the main advisor on board of those TVs? Zahi Hallas.
Of course, yes.
When it comes to the pyramids, they ask him for advice. They were asking him, "Hey, there are claims, there are pyramids in Bosnia, are we going to do the show?" And of course, he would say no. Mm. Well,
because did you offer him to be the star?
Exactly.
I mean, seriously, that's what he wants.
Well, I...
And everybody, even Zahi admits this, so we're not telling any tales out of school. Zahi loves being on television.
Exactly.
And he's very good at it.
Yeah, I invited him, but he didn't want to come. But anyway...
Did you get the impression that he didn't want to, or he was told not to?
Well, I think it was more of the local patriotism, Egypt, Bosnia, pyramids there. But then what we did do, Richard, we were on Discovery. We were on Science Channel. We were on National Geographic. And we were on History Channel. So we are getting there. A lot of... You know, national TVs from Italy, from UK, from Russia, from Hungary, from Croatia, they do come here, they do shows, they do, you know, documentaries about Bosnian pyramids. Mm.
It's coming. I mean, obviously in 2 hours we can only touch on the superficial aspects of this amazing set of discoveries. But if you go to Other Side of Midnight, to Radio with Pictures, we have a bunch of videos there, which is Dr. Sam discussing a great number of things in clips from these documentaries. We also have some images. So if you're in front of your computer, why don't you guide us through the images? I think we probably want to start with number 5.
Number 5. Okay, that's the archaeological digging.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you see, when we think about the pyramids, we always think about possible purpose, tombs for pharaohs. Of course, the Egyptian pyramids are not tombs for pharaohs, but regardless, the pyramids require...
Hang on, let me stop you there. The canonical academic view of pyramids world over, and there are a lot of pyramids all over the world we didn't kind of get to. We touched on, you know, China and Egypt and the Mayan pyramids. But the canonical academic point of view is they're all tombs. If you get outside that box, if you lift your mindset from that constraint, I mean, is that really why...
you have a problem, because, of course, I go to Egypt every year. I was there just 4 or 5 days ago. And you enter the Great Pyramid of Egypt. You can see the chambers and passageways. Now, no paintings on the walls, no mummies, no tombs, really, no royal furniture, no organic materials, no tools, not a single proof.
No hieroglyphs.
No hieroglyphic writings. Not a single proof who, when, how, and why. The same thing with the second largest Khafre, or Mycerin, or Djoser's, or 3 Sneferu's pyramids. So basically, the time will show that 200 years of Egyptologists, with the help of 80 years of Hollywood movies, that the pyramids had been tombs, is just the biggest hoax in the history. Now, that's, of course, one of the things that I preach. You know, I'm saying, hey, give me scientific proof who really built them and when. Now, you go to the Mayan pyramids. People are saying, oh, they were a place to sacrifice the enemy. Well, not the proof there. You go to the Peruvian pyramids, Bolivia. You go to China. The Chinese government does not want to investigate their 20 biggest pyramids because they are over 12,000 years old. You go to the island of Mauritius, 7 beautiful pyramids. I sent scientific report to the government of Mauritius suggesting that we investigate them because not a single scientific investigation has been done. They answered me, well, we don't have pyramids. It's just a pile of rocks. So it's over and over again all around the planet. You know, so I realized that the pyramids do change history in almost every country they exist. The same thing with the Bosnian pyramids.
Interesting. Now, I'll tell you what, hold it there. We're at the bottom of the hour. Keith's going to pop up a little music. We'll have a quick commercial. We'll get back to our conversation this morning with Dr. Sam Osmanagic. We're talking about something staggering. The discovery 11 years ago in Bosnia of a set of pyramids, massive pyramids, dwarfing the classic pyramids in Egypt, and receiving a lot of academic pushback that they can't possibly be pyramids because, well, we all know pyramids are only in Egypt. We'll get back to our conversation momentarily. You're on the other side of midnight. My name is Richard C. Hoagland, and we shall return. And we're back on the other side of midnight, and it's about it's a little under 50. It's about 50 degrees. And the gibbous moon that hasn't risen yet because it's rapidly moving toward the sun as it does every month. My guest this morning is Dr. Sam Osmanagic. We're discussing the Bosnian pyramids. Sam, the magnitude of this discovery cannot be overstated, and the fact that the science is now beyond question because Zahi sent two emissaries and both of them basically acknowledged what you had found, and your team has been working, you know, feverishly to further limb out. And then when they get home, he fired one. What happened to the other?
Well, Lami Al-Hadidi, she kept working, but she stayed silent. Well, you see, Richard.
You mean she never wrote down what she told you and told him on the phone?
Never.
Okay.
Never. You know, because she was feared for her
job. The way the game is played. Okay.
But so, despite everything, we kept working. And in the last 10 years, we have actually established a set of scientific criteria to call something a pyramid. So if you fulfill those criteria, then you can call the pyramid. So we said the criteria number one, you have to have a geometry of a pyramid to call something a pyramid. In the case of the Bosnian pyramids, as you can see on those photos, we have clearly four sides.
Okay, what photo would you like folks to look at? Let's look at number five.
Number five or number one.
Yep.
That's the Bosnian pyramid.
Oh, number one is so striking. Wow.
So it's a geometry. The criteria number two, it's the orientation of the sides. As you know, Richard, all Chinese pyramids are oriented to the north. All Egyptian old pyramids, north. Cosmic north. Most of the Peruvian, north.
Meaning the straight sides are supposed to point north.
Side point to the north. All Cahokia pyramids, north. Cahokia on the U.S. soil.
Outside of St. Louis.
Exactly. So we thought that the best orientation is the northern side of the Great Pyramid of Egypt with the error of 0 degrees and 2 minutes. Well, according to the Bosnian State Institute for Geodesy, the northern side of the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun has an error of 0 degrees, 0 minutes, and 12 seconds.
What?
The most
That's
precise,
nuts.
The most precise orientation on the planet.
That is so nuts. That is astronomical precision for something which is the mass of a mountain.
Exactly. Now, the element number three. Now, you need to hear this. Artificial construction material. Of course, in Peru, for the pyramids, they used adobe bricks. In Mexico, they used sandstone and granite. In Guatemala, shaped volcanic stone. In Egypt, limestone and granite. In Bosnia, they covered the pyramid in concrete.
What?
Artificially made concrete. Now, Egypt, we are talking 5 million tons of limestone and granite blocks. Bosnia, you are talking 18 million tons of concrete. When it comes to concrete, you can measure, you can determine its quality based on hardness and water absorption. When it comes to hardness...
Okay, hang on. So if we go to picture number six on Radio with Pictures, those are artificial concrete blocks under soil excavated with tree roots over on the left.
And as you can see, you remove 3 feet of 3-4 feet of soil, you're finding blocks. They are obviously rectangular. They have six sides, six breaks at 90 degrees, one next to each other, and then there is the second row below the first one. There is the third row below the second one. There is the fourth row below the third one. It is a construction. Now, we took samples of this material, sent them to seven different institutes for materials in France, to our friend Professor Davidovic, geopolymer theory, to Prague, Czech Republic, to Italy, to Rhin.
Just so people don't miss that, Professor Davidovic in France is the guy who developed the theory back in the 70s that the pyramid blocks in Egypt are basically huge geopolymer artificial concrete blocks poured, not cut, right?
Exactly. So they all told us this was a geopolymer concrete.
Oh my God.
Artificially made material. So imagine 18 million tons of concrete.
Well, no, wait. Is this solid all the way through, or is this a casing?
It's everywhere the same. We, on Sun Pyramid...
Wait, but you mean someone built a mountain 18 million tons out of this material?
Yeah. So what we have concrete blocks, we have clay, which was used as a binder,
right.
We have sandstone blocks, which they were using from, you know, other hills, building from ground up the largest pyramid on the planet. How do we know that it was built from the ground up? Two of our Russian colleagues, geophysicists, Professor Kavroshkin, Professor Tsiplakov from the Schmidt Institute, with their instruments proved that the whole pyramid is made from the non-compact material. So we don't have a sedimentation process, somebody shaped the hill covered with concrete. No, it was built from the ground up.
Now, like, hang on a second. What's that big structure north of Stonehenge? The, Avebury.
Oh, Avebury Hill. Well, you have those.
But Avebury Hill is an artificial mountain brought, presume, by a lot of guys with baskets, right?
Yes, or
women. So you're saying that this pyramid in Bosnia at Sarajevo is an artificial piled up pile of dirt with concrete facing made to cover it, and it weighs 18 million tons.
Exactly right. And then when it comes to concrete, and hear this, our concretes today, when it comes to hardness, are in the range from 10 to 60 megapascals. 60 megapascals, the best quality, Germany and the US. Bosnian pyramid concrete is in the range from 73 to 134 megapascals, which is the best quality concrete ever made.
Oh my God. So, now, chemically, is it similar to modern concrete?
Yes. So the materials, you have pebbles, rocks, sand, you have water, that's the common. Just today we use cement, and they used clay as a binder, adding the granite dust to make it more solid.
Oh
so
my.
But we have
and Sam, the granite dust has quartz in it, quartz inclusions, little quartz.
Yes, of course.
Lots of quartz.
Lot of quartz. So we have lost those formulas over the time. So, like I said, let's go back to scientific criteria, geometry, orientation, construction material. Number four, inner passageways. According to geophysical analysis, there are seven levels of tunnels inside the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun with a lot of chambers. And we have, of course, chambers and passageways in Egyptian or Chinese or some of the Mayan pyramids. The next element, number five, underground tunnels. Until 1970, people thought there were no tunnels under Egyptian pyramids. After that, under 70 major pyramids in Egypt, they discovered underground tunnels. Tunnels do connect Giza pyramids with the Sphinx, River Nile. Tunnels do connect Chinese pyramids, and they go under the pyramids where the chambers are located. Palenque, the Mayan pyramids in Mexico. 2 years ago, they discovered the tunnels that connects the Temple of Inscriptions with several other pyramids. Now they are talking about possibility that all the pyramids under Palenque were connected by tunnels.
Hmm.
So the tunnels become major element of pyramids in the world. And guess what? In Bosnia, we have the most extensive underground tunnel network that runs for tens of miles.
Now, how have these been mapped?
Now, those tunnels are below the Pyramid Valley in Bosnia. They are made in the material called conglomerate, river conglomerate. So in the natural materials, they built the tunnels, the passageways, the chambers, intersections, even underground lakes, everything is under the Bosnian Pyramid Valley.
So the pyramid itself, you don't know, or do you, whether it has chambers in its bulk, in its pyramidal shape?
We do know that they have chambers, according to our, you know, geophysical studies. You know, you can basically go through the thick layer of soil and the blocks, and then based on different speed of rays, you know that there are different materials, there are holes, there are, you know, water and stuff like that. So we know that there is a number of chambers in the pyramid, and there are seven level of passageways inside the pyramid. But now I'm talking about the tunnels below the pyramids.
Below ground level.
Below the ground, yes.
Okay.
So that was a very important element. The next element, also very important, is the water. You have rivers above the ground, and you have a lot of underground water streams. The next element...
Let me ask a question here, yes. Because it's very appropriate. Was yes. water ever diverted from the underground reservoir up into the pyramid and out again?
Yes. We know that there are water reservoirs under the Sun Pyramid and the Moon.
And
by the way, we have 5 pyramids so far discovered in Bosnia. And I'm coming to the next element, sacred geometry. When you, on the topographic map, draw the line between the top of the Sun Pyramid and the Moon, the distance is 2,180 meters,
okay.
which is about 6,500 feet. When you go back, when you go from Moon to Dragon Pyramid, the third one, 2,180 meters. And then when you go back from Dragon to the Sun Pyramid, 2,180 meters. And you are getting equilateral triangle.
Oh, my gosh.
And as you know, equilateral triangles, they are perfect geometrical shapes.
Yeah.
And as such, part of the sacred geometry, which is the next element for the pyramids.
And they are two-dimensional representations, Sam, of the three-dimensional tetrahedron.
Yes, that's my dog.
Ah, what's his name?
His name is Sunny. Sunny.
Sunny. Now, you have to behave, because if you do what Morala does, I have a dog, too. We have a dog, and Morala loves to be on radio. Yes. Sometimes she'll bark just because I'm talking to a lot of other people and not her.
Okay,
Sunny, you behave.
Yes, so sacred geometry is a very important part.
Oh, crucial, crucial.
Any pyramid in the world, but in our case, it's the most obvious. You know, Egyptian pyramids, you have also a triangle, the Giza Plateau or Teotihuacan in Mexico.
So let me get this clear, because we don't have an overview map on other Side of Midnight Radio with Pictures. We probably should scroll down to item number 9, I would think. 9 would be good to talk about tunnels.
Yes.
Okay. But let me get this straight. If you look down on a satellite image of the pyramid complex, 3 of the large pyramids, you say, are arrayed in a perfect equilateral triangle, 2180 meters on a side.
2,180 meters between the tops.
Ah, okay.
Which is about, 6,500 feet. So the Mother Nature does not make 4-sided hills with the triangular faces, perfect orientation, and then perfect equilateral triangle, but intelligent hands. So, and now we are coming to the next element, also very interesting, the astronomical features. You know, in the summer...
Just so folks follow us, you're looking at a step-by-step checklist for all of the ways you can tell an artificial pyramid from a natural hill.
Correct. When we follow the shadow of the Sun Pyramid in the valley in Bosnia, as the sun moves on horizon, the shadow moves towards the Moon Pyramid. And at the sunset, the shadow covers the Moon Pyramid completely, and the top of the shadow touches the top of the Moon Pyramid. So, in a symbolical way, the builders are telling us the rule of the day and the sun is over, and the rule of the night and the moon starts. So it's a genius, because it seems that they built the Sun Pyramid first, they were following the shadow, and then at the sunset, they said, okay, this is going to be the location of the Moon Pyramid, and the height of the Moon Pyramid, they determine based on the height of the shadow.
You now, see, Richard? Have you been able to determine the age of this complex? Because the reconstruction you just laid out only works...
You have, but you will have to hold on your seat. So let me give you two more elements for the...
Go ahead.
And I'm coming to the age. So, the next element, also very important, the energy-potent place. The pyramids, the original, the biggest one, and the most superior, they were always built over energy-potent place. What that means? Well, in the case of Bosnia, 3 labs from Vienna, Austria, Belgrade, Serbia, Zagreb, Croatia, confirmed that we have an iron plate or iron ore below the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun. Why iron? Because iron generates electromagnetic field. Also, we have a lot of underground water flows. And then the places where we have two parallel water flows at different depths, in between them, the electricity is generated. The next energy form, the water moves, releases negative ions. And the next one, of course, the natural magnetism. So we have four energy sources that are natural, that we can measure, and they are all below the pyramid. So, with that, we are coming to the result. If you fulfill all these elements, what is the result? Well, the result is the energy phenomena. The pyramid becomes an energy amplifier. The pyramid is actually the energy machine. So these are 9 or 10 scientific criteria that we need to call something a pyramid, and all of them has been fulfilled in the case of the Bosnian pyramids.
Do you know Christopher Dunn?
Yes, I know Chris Dunn. We met. He came to Bosnia. It was winter time, so he did visit the tunnels, so they were very interesting to him. Unfortunately, it was January. The pyramids were covered by snow.
Oh.
The blocks were covered by snow, so he couldn't see much as far as the pyramids and the blocks. But the tunnels were very interesting to him. Now, you asked me about the age of the pyramid.
Yes.
There are two ways to do it. The first one is indirect way. We know that the pyramids have been covered by soil and clay. If we can figure out the age of soil and the clay, then we can give a minimum age of the structure below. Well,
on the theory that you can't have piled up dirt if there wasn't something to pile the dirt up on.
Yes. But then, of course, we can see the concrete blocks and they are part of the structure. Above them, we have the soil. So, the Institute for Pedology, because the pedology is the science that investigates the origin of soil. The Institute for Pedology took samples from the Sun and the Moon pyramids in Bosnia, and they gave us the age of the soil between 12 and 15,000 years.
Oh my gosh.
Meaning the structure below is much older. And then we did discover an organic material, a fossilized leaf, below the soil and on the top of the concrete blocks.
Oh.
Obviously, the structure was there, the wind was blowing, bringing the leaf remained there, covered by dust and then soil. That leaf, again, was giving us a minimum age of the structure. We did the radiocarbon dating in Kiev, Ukraine. They told us 24,800 years, plus minus 200 years. Basically, we go back for 25,000 years. And this is still minimum age because it was on the top of the structure.
Right.
Finally, 2013, our archaeological team, led by the archaeologist from New Zealand, Tim Moon, they discovered two fossilized leaves between two concrete layers, the first row and the second row, in between, like in the sandwich. Now, that was so important because we knew while the pyramid builders were laying, you know, concrete layers, the first, the second, the third, those two leaves came, and then they placed the top concrete blocks, but those two leaves will give us the exact time of the construction date. Again, we did radiocarbon dating. It came up to 29,000.
Oh, my God, because John West and I think that that era, that super technological era, the last time we built things that could hover and fly and, you know, communicate across space and all that, 30,000 years, Sam.
And that's exactly right. 29,200 plus minus 400 years is the results we got. So we go back 30,000 years.
Bingo.
And then, yes, Richard, now we are talking about the previous cycle of humanity.
Yes.
The problem with the official historians is they see only the last cycle, which they called Neolithic times, which basically started with the end of the last ice age. And of course, yes, we do have Sumerians, we do have Babylon. 15 days ago, I was in Jericho, which is about 11,500 years old, the first city in the last civilization cycle. But before this one, there was another one, which ended with the global catastrophe 12,000 years ago. And another one. So we can follow those catastrophes 18,000, 30,000, 55,000, 75,000 years ago. Every time we have a huge volcanic eruptions like the one that hit Indonesia 75,000 years ago, 99% of humanity is wiped off from the face of the planet. Mm. Those who survive somewhere in underground tunnels or natural caves on top of the mountains, when they get out, they need to start from the beginning because their civilization is destroyed forever. Yeah. So, when it comes to age, that's another thing that goes to nerve, you know, to our skeptics and those people who are against us, because we change the history of very advanced societies because we had the pyramid complex in Bosnia so huge and so precise.
Now, when Flinders Petrie was doing his research in the 19th century on the Giza complex, the Great Pyramid and the other pyramids, he noted in his work that the casing stones were polished to optical perfection on a scale of like 13 acres or something. What kind of precision, technological precision, tool marks, evidence of the technology used, have you found in the Bosnian pyramids, given their incredible, 30,000 years obviously turns history on its head?
Exactly. Now, in our case, it was less about cosmetics and precision. It was more about the functionality. You have the best quality, the strongest concrete on the face of the planet, especially at the one-third of the height of the pyramid. Why? Well, the answer comes with the purpose of pyramid. Pyramids are obviously not places where you bury one dead body.
No.
Something that was built for the living communities to last thousands of years. A huge, very complex energy machines. How you determine that? Well, you don't invite archaeologists, Egyptologists, or geologists, but you invite experts in energy phenomena. Mm-hmm. The physicists, electrical engineers, the sound engineers, the real scientists who come with the scientific instruments. And guess what? We were measuring electromagnetic fields on the nearby hills, no anomaly. But when we came to the top of the Sun Pyramid, in the radius of 13 feet, we detected and measured electromagnetic field of 28 kilohertz frequency. We got out of this diameter, no measurement. We went back in, it was there. So it meant that the electromagnetic field does not go left or right, but it goes up.
Okay, if you go to Radio with Pictures again, look at number 8 in Sam's section tonight. That's an artist concept, an aerial artist concept of the major Bosnian pyramid, the Pyramid of the Sun, with this beam of radio energy. If you could see it with your eyes, that's how they modeled it. It's a vertical beam extending from the top of the pyramid up into the air, into space, presumably. Does anybody know how high it goes?
Yes. Now, what happened? Once we had the first measurement, 3 months later, Serbian electrical engineers, Goran Marjanović, came. He confirmed the same measurement. Then Finnish, from Finland, sound engineer, Heikki Salolainen, came. He confirmed it. Then finally, Italian professor De Bertolis from University of Trieste, he confirmed the same readings. So, when in science you have 4 independent teams who come at 4 different times with their own equipment and they all get the same results, it is called an independent scientific verification phenomenon.
Yep.
Which phenomenon? This one here. Energy beam, 28 kilohertz, focused and continuous. Different seasons of the year.
Okay, let me stop you there and ask this question. Are any other known artificial pyramids also known to emit electromagnetic radiation?
2.
Ah, the which ones?
Kukulkan Pyramid in Chichen Itza.
Oh, really?
And the
Oh, pyramid. That's the one we measured.
There you go. And the Pyramid of the Moon in Teotihuacan.
And that's another one we measured.
So, look what we have here. We measured the strength of the signal. So we have frequency, 28 kilohertz. But now let's measure the strength, millivolts, volts, kilovolts.
Amplitude,
We were measuring on the ground, on the top, and then we went 10 feet higher, then another 10 feet higher. Every time we lifted the sonda, the antenna, the signal was getting stronger and stronger and stronger, and the physicists could not believe. They said, this is not how our technology works. I mean, in our technology, let's call it Hertzian technology, closer to the source of the energy, the signal is stronger.
Sure.
You You move away, it's getting weaker and weaker and weaker, and finally disappears.
1 over but, r squared is the equation.
Yeah. But since everything is upside down in this little country of Bosnia, our pyramids work differently. You move away, the signal is getting stronger
and stronger. That's astonishing.
So, let's call this non-Hertzian phenomenon. In the 21st century, we do not have technology which is based on non-Hertzian waves because we don't know them. However, the guy who was born only 200 miles to the west from pyramids in Bosnia was experimenting with non-Hertzian waves in his lab in Colorado Springs in 1899, and his name
is Tesla.
Nikola Tesla. So, he had a big transformer. He was sending energy.
Sam, let me stop you there. Do you think that Tesla knew about these pyramids and lore and mythology and folklore and, you know, grassroots people's stories?
He did not know about those particular pyramids because there was no folklore or no legend until, you know, 11 years ago when we recognized them. However, I'll tell you this. As you know, Tesla built Wardenclyffe Tower in his mature age in the state of New York.
On Long Island outside New York.
Okay. So he did only one experiment before they cut his funds. But based on that one experiment, he concluded that he had found means to send huge quantities of energy, thousands of horsepowers, regardless of distance, for the interplanetary communication, which will become reality one day. And guess what was the frequency of his
voice? Oh, you're kidding.
28 hertz.
Kilohertz. 28,000 cycles.
28,000 hertz.
That's amazing. So, okay, hold it there. We're at the top of the hour. Keith is going to bounce up some music here. We're going to take a short break. My guest this morning is, I mean, this is an astonishing story because the science is all here. We are not the first. How in the world could academia keep the wool over our eyes for so many years? My guest this morning, on the other side of midnight, Dr. Sam Osmanagić, we're discussing the Bosnian pyramids, a previous extraordinary high-tech civilization that for some reason decided to build artificial mountains around the world, around this planet. When we come back, we're going to get into why. We're going to compare models and theories and... You can join in. I'll open the phone lines and you can ask Dr. Sam your questions. My name is Richard C. Hoagland. You're on the other side of midnight, and we shall return. And we are back on the other side of midnight at the top of the hour here. Dr. Sam, this 20 kilohertz signal, 28,000 cycles per second, what does it mean? How is it generated? Do you know yet where, if it's actually part of the structure of the pyramid generating it, or is there something technological buried inside in the center that's emitting a signal showing you where to find it?
The pyramids are very complex energy machines, but they are energy amplifiers because they do not make energy from nothing. It's obvious. So, I mentioned the energy-potent place is the location where the pyramids were built. Below the Bosnian pyramids, we have iron plate generating electromagnetism. We have underground water flows generating electricity. We have, you know, natural magnetism. We have a lot of quartz crystal amplifying those energies. Mm-hmm. We have underground tunnel network, again, amplifies the energy. And then inside the pyramid, 7 levels of tunnels, and they are laid out as a spiral, the energy flow going through the spiral, spinning, and then through the top of the pyramid. Now, we measure that as this energy beam moves from the pyramid, it's getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And then we send a drone, 100 meters, 330 feet above the top of the pyramid, energy beam was still there, stronger and stronger.
Oh my, so it gets stronger the higher you go.
Yes. So,
That is nuts. You know what that reminds me of, Sam? The sun's corona. The surface of the sun has a 6,000 degree Kelvin temperature, roughly 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit. The corona, just a few thousand miles above it, has a temperature of 2 million degrees.
Amazing.
It looks like a similar phenomenon where three-state, three-dimensional relationships, spatial relationships, things get weaker with distance. It's almost like it's inverted, so things are getting stronger with distance, which indicates a multidimensional solution, because you can't have that solution in 3D.
Yes. Now, look at what is the consequence of this energy beam going through the top of the pyramid of the sun, getting stronger and stronger. Theoretically, it can go through our ionosphere,
of course,
around the planet. It can go through our solar system. It can go to any other solar system in our galaxy, and it can connect to any other planet in some other solar system. And that way, you establish the energy bridge between two planets.
Oh, my.
And through this energy bridge, then you can send vibrations, sounds, frequencies. Basically, you can send information, and the pyramid becomes very powerful communication device.
Okay, next question then.
Hang on.
Did your radio guys measure any modulation? Is it a carrier wave, or is there information on this 28 kilohertz beam?
I'm coming to that. So we have this energy beam, which is electromagnetic in nature. And then we were measuring the sounds, infrasounds, ultrasounds. And we did measure the ultrasound of 28 kilohertz frequency, which is logical because if you have electromagnetism and you have a lot of quartz crystal, then electromagnetism hits the quartz crystal, you have piezoelectrical effect, and you have the ultrasound. Mm-hmm. So through this beam, we measured 28 kilohertz frequency ultrasound. That's something that we cannot hear. We hear from 10 hertz to 20 kilohertz.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is called ultrasound, but we can measure it. And we did measure the ultrasound, and the ultrasound goes through this energy beam. If it goes to another planet, what does that mean? Well, it means that our pyramid of the sun in Bosnia is point A. Our planet is point A. The question is, who is at point B?
Of course.
And if the pyramid is communication device, then you clearly have those two points, A and B, and you have scientific proof that more advanced civilization was on this planet over 30,000 years ago.
This is just astonishing, Sam, because it makes so many other things, so many other data points kind of fall into place.
Exactly right. And now that's just the beginning.
Well, let me ask this question then. If you do a computer model and you put this Bosnian pyramid at Bosnia, latitude, longitude, and you orient the Earth in space and the solar system relative to the planets and the galaxy and all that correctly, as the Earth rotates and this beam emanating from the top, the apex of that pyramid, extends upward, getting stronger, stronger and stronger with distance, which is impossible under current 3D theory, where does that line trace out in the sky? What other star systems, what other planets does that intersection of that beam point to if you do the computer reconstruction?
As you said, the Earth rotates. It is hard to say at this moment. And then plus, since our planet moves all the time, you know, the signal would move. But the answer to that would be the pyramidion. What was on the top of the pyramid?
As we know,
all the pyramidions in China, all these pyramids in Egypt, and in Bosnia are missing. And the pyramidions would basically calibrate the signals, and they were able to move the signal. So I would say there was a communication between the planets for a very short period of time. Every day, yes, they were able to communicate, at least for a couple of minutes or so.
Mm.
And pyramidion was a secret how to keep this communication intact. Now, obviously that the communication is one very, very important feature of the pyramid. But this is not all. Because we have measured more energy phenomena, Richard. And one of them, we measured ELF, extremely low frequency, on the pyramids in the tunnels, of the frequency of 7.83 hertz.
Okay.
As we know, in science, it is called the Schumann resonance.
Yep.
Everything resonates. Our planet resonates. Tesla, 100 years ago, thought it was about 8 hertz, And von Schumann, 50 years ago, he concluded it was 7.83 hertz. This is the best frequency for our physical, mental, spiritual abilities, but also for all the plants and animals.
Sam, over the years, I've heard reports that the Schumann resonance has been measured as changing. Do you have any data on that?
Yes. Until 1990, the only frequency of our planet was 7.83. And after that, because of our bad electromagnetism produced by computers, TVs, microwaves, HARP program, the frequency is going up. By 94, it was already at 8.4, steadily rising every year. Last year...
Now, wait. You made two statements there that may not be connected. You said it's changing, and then you attributed it, actually did the other way around. You said because of all the electronic smog, that's forcing the change. Are you sure, Sam? Are you sure the change isn't because the planet itself, the physics, is changing?
It does, but we know that a lot, that bad electromagnetism can influence this. So, what we do know, it's going up to 15.1 hertz last year. What does that mean? Well, this electromagnetism from the ionosphere directly affect our brain waves. We think we produce brain waves. And this higher frequency we feel as the pressure. Now, until 1990, everything was with less pressure, more smiles on our faces. Nowadays, 25 years later, so much stress. So it's rising frequency in a case of extremely low frequency is very bad for us. And guess what? All Bosnian pyramids and the tunnels still have the same original Schumann resonance, 7.83, the best energy field. We have so many visitors.
Wait. You got to say that slowly. In other words, if you measure above ground, the Schumann resonance, which means very, very long radio antennas, it's
7.83.
That's the normal. That was normal up until recently, and then it's gone up to, 15, right?
Exactly.
Okay,
you move 300-400 feet, you're going to 14, 15, 16. You go back to the pyramid, 7.83. So they keep the best energy field.
Oh, my God, it's like a frequency lock.
There you go. So people go to Bosnian pyramid tunnels, you ask them how they feel, and they're coming from Peru, New Zealand, Jordan, Turkey, Norway, U.S. They will tell you, we feel like we are at home. Because they are at their homes. They are in the best energy field. So it gives us the second possible usage of the pyramid energy to keep the best energy field on the planet for all the living organisms.
Okay, so let me ask you this question then. Have you, as part of your grassroots research science, and we can help with this, do you have people, botanists, plant people, agronomists, you know, livestock people, looking at the entire ecosystem around this complex? Because if you're right, if the energy of this complex is different, if it's more ordered, if it's more natural, if it's more conducive to life, there should be a measurable difference between life forms there and life forms other places.
The answer is yes. Now, the pyramid does not have strength as it had during the original times. Why? Because all the energy sources of the planet and the planet herself is not so strong like 12,000 years ago. But the pyramid still functions, not so strong like before, but it still does. Now, what we can measure? Among other things, we can measure water. As you know, late Dr. Masaru Emoto has become very popular, you know, filming the molecular structure of different samples of water. So he takes contaminated water from lakes or city water, or water exposed to the classical music, Beethoven and Mozart, or the water that, you know, is exposed to mantra of love. Every molecular structure is different, meaning the water has a memory. You can influence the water.
Mm.
What we did, we sent samples of the Visoko town city water to Dr. Emoto, and we sent samples of the Bosnian pyramid water that's been in the tunnels for thousands of years.
So these are two separate water sources. The town water is nothing to do with the pyramid.
Pyramid.
Okay.
Correct. Now, when we got results back, it was astonished. The city water has an ugly molecular structure. Why? Because of the chlorine, because of the traces of heavy metals. This water is cut to the metal pipes, going miles and miles through the pipes. Of course, it is energetically dead. And when we got results from the pyramid water, it had a beautiful hexagonal structure, very regular, and it has a crystal-like structure around it, because it is energetically alive. It is a happy water. Why? Because it's been exposed to the best electromagnetic field, to the best ultrasound of 28 kilohertz, to the best Schumann resonance, and to high concentration of negative ions in tunnels. So all the elements is there, so that water is really, you know, alive. Now, there is a Dowser's, no, a scale called the Bovis scale. Bovis scale measured...
No, what kind of scale is this?
It's called Bovis, B-O-V-I-S, Bovis scale,
okay,
which measure the energy level of, you know, different beings or even spaces or water. Now, when it comes to humans, you know, if we have 6,500 Bovis on this scale, it means we are normal, healthy people. If we are tired, 6,000. If we are sick, 5,500. Or if we eat healthy, 8,000, 9,000, we are full energy, 10,000. We are spiritually advanced, mentally clean, 12,000.
And how is the scale measured? What's the indicator of
it's,
the scale?
It's a dowsing. So
oh,
not
okay,
very specific,
okay.
But it gives us a hint. So let's say people who can heal with a touch, 14,000 Bovis. For example, I have 18,000 Bovis. One visit to Bosnian pyramid tunnels raises your Bovis level for 2,000. So
wow.
In my case, before I go there...
So it's still working?
It's still working, yes. So, and the water, the city water that you and I have in our homes, 3,500 Bovis. So imagine, we have 3, 4, 5 times more than that, and we drink this water, it's, you know, getting us down. And the Bosnian pyramid water, 27,000 Bovis.
Oh, my.
So these are very good.
So what is it doing to the plant life? What's it doing to the animals? What's it doing to birds and bees? And so,
now, this water right now is contained in the pyramid tunnels. But we started bottling this water a couple of 3 years ago, and we started selling it as the Bosnian pyramid souvenir. Now, people who can value this, what they do, they use it, you know, instead of pills. I had a guy from England, Nigel, he had a problem with his eyes. He had dry eyes. And he was buying those, you know, eye drops in the pharmacy.
Right.
They helped him for 3 days. Then he took the Bosnian pyramid water. After 1 day, 3 times, he put a few, you know, eye drops, Bosnian pyramid water.
Oh, it
and
changed.
The dryness was gone because of the higher vibration of this water.
It changed the hydrolyzation.
Exactly right. So this is how the pyramid energy affects the water. The next thing, of course, you know, our Russian colleagues, they are placing the seeds in the pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
do you know those guys?
Of course, Alexander Golod and Valery.
Yeah, I want to talk to them because obviously I have theories as to how that works as well. But they're kind of replicating your work, except on a smaller scale, with modern technology.
I'll send you contacts. Valery Varov is the guy who's building the pyramids in St. Petersburg, Moscow, and now he's building the biggest pyramid complex in Tomsk, in Siberia, which will consist of 33 pyramids. 9 of them are already done. The whole project is €500 million, which is about $600 million. So these people, they know pyramids. Russians and Bosnians, I'll tell you, we know the pyramid energy.
Well, they know the physics. This
exactly.
is torsion field physics that makes all this work. And you know, Sam, I'm thinking that these ultrasound and infrasound and other changes are not the cause but the effect of the pyramid structure and its interaction with the torsion field itself.
But look at this. You mentioned ultrasound. We measure 28 kilohertz frequency ultrasound. Why is that frequency significant? American Ralph Ring was experimenting with different frequencies of the ultrasound, 21 kilohertz, 22, 23. When he came to 28, he had a ping pong ball, table tennis ball, above the speaker. At this frequency, ball started levitating, going to the air. He went to bed, leaving the machine on, came back next morning, and the ball was still in the air, meaning he discovered a levitation frequency. But since the Bosnian pyramids have this frequency, it means that he actually only rediscovered
the levitation frequency
because the Bosnian pyramid builders knew about it over 30,000 years ago. So it seems that they were getting very specific frequencies. So it's not that they are getting some energy fields, but very specific ones. And now, let me take you below the ground.
Okay.
Bosnian underground, not political, which is very developed, but archaeological. 11 years ago, when I discovered the first two pyramids, I could see them by my own naked eyes. I wrote the first book after the first preliminary investigation, and I said in the book, we were going to discover a network of prehistorical underground tunnels. And I based that on my experience with Egyptian, Chinese, Mexican, or Peruvian pyramids. When I wrote that in my book, everybody and his brother attacked me. Look at this guy, Osmanagic. First pyramids, now prehistorical tunnels. It's impossible. Well, guess what? 11 years later, we have the most extensive underground prehistorical tunnel network. Now, in those tunnels, we can see deeper you go, you breathe better and better. And that's not very logical.
No, not at all.
If you are in a coal mines after, 50 or 100 feet, lack of oxygen. So, people are getting the oxygen with the fans, or they are getting bottles. Well, not in our case. As I told you, nothing is logical in this country of Bosnia. What we have in our case, you go deeper and deeper, you breathe better and better, the oxygen level always at the same level, 20.5%, humidity always the same, 75%, temperature always the same, 12.5 degrees Celsius, in the middle of the winter, in the middle of the summer. Somebody made these, features the constant. And we have only one entrance. We don't have airflow coming from two or five different entrances. How is that possible? Well, we were checking how they built those tunnels. We can see that when we start cleaning some of those tunnels, that's another thing, that we can see two civilizations. One built the tunnels, the second one closed all of them. They brought filler material, they closed them.
Göbekli Tepe.
Like Göbekli Tepe, exactly.
Deliberately buried as a time capsule, Sam.
Yeah, well, good. So we remove the soil, we remove the, pebbles and rocks, the filler material, and we can see that the level of sealing changes. It goes up and down, up and down. And we know that if you have low sealing, then the pressure coming from the outside is a little bit stronger. When you have higher sealing, the pressure is weaker, lower, stronger, weaker. Different air pressure makes the air move.
Oh, my. It's like a natural Venturi or Bernoulli effect.
Exactly. So when you have one long tunnel with the ceilings going up and down like a sinusoid, so basically it is like you placed a big fan at the beginning pushing the air slowly.
But it's all solid state. There's no moving parts.
Exactly. But then, listen, you don't have just one tunnel. You have hundreds of them.
Oh,
it's a labyrinth.
So how can the Bosnian government still deny this place is artificial, is a complex, had a purpose, has
really
an incredible age?
Yeah. Not really that they deny. They obviously recognize that there is something big there. The tourists are coming, so they let us work. Otherwise, they would shut us down a long time ago. If we did not have so many scientific arguments. So, when the coal mining, when mining engineers come to us, they are at odds. They are saying, how do they solve this? How do they look at the air, look at the oxygen, no poisonous gases. Amazing genius structure. Not only that you breathe good, but we notice that people with asthma, They go inside, they breathe so good, they go outside, they don't need inhalators, air pumps no more. You notice that people with the pains in their back, they go through the tunnels, they get outside, the pain is gone. The people with the high blood pressure, it gets normalized. The people with the high sugar in the blood, it gets normalized. Now, all those testimonies ask us to do the scientific explanation. Now, the airflow is one thing, then that's fine. But then we measure the concentration of negative ions. Why negative ions? As the medical science knows, negative ions are very good for our health because they raise the level of oxygen in our body, they kill viruses and bacteria, they connect with the dust around us, the dust goes on the floor, so they, you know, clear the air. The more negative ions, better for us. In your studio, at my home in Sarajevo, right now we have probably 100 negative ions per cubic centimeter. We go downtown LA or Sarajevo, 400, a little bit fresher. You go out to the village, 800. You go by the river, 1500. In Bosnia, the mountain with the most negative ions is called Olympic Mountain Igman. In the middle of the forest, 4,000. And in the Bosnian pyramid tunnels, 40,000 negative ions.
40,000.
10 times higher.
So, Sam, it's obvious that these were incredibly sophisticated engineering edifices.
Exactly.
Built to last without power, without external technology, running on the energy of the earth forever, for as long as the material lasts. What was the purpose? What was the point?
And the conclusion is, I mean, the Bosnian pyramids are not only the biggest pyramids on the planet, but the oldest energy machines that they've been working continuously for over 30,000 years, being the first perpetual motion machine on the planet.
Okay. Adam's been very patient. Let's bring Adam in, and he has a question, I think, for you. Adam, good morning. Welcome to the other side of midnight.
Hey, good morning. I did have a question. Based on the discussion tonight, I was kind of curious. Is this potentially the oldest example of human civilization that we know of? Is that what this is? I guess that's my question.
It's an excellent question. Yes.
Yes, I would say this. This is the example of the oldest pyramid complex so far built by intelligent hands.
Is that clear?
Okay. Yeah. I almost wanted to ask, is this the origin of human civilization? But that's probably an unfair question. But.
Yes, I did answer that question saying, you know, they are built by intelligent hands. I don't know if they are built by humans.
Ah.
You know, I'm a scientist, and I have to have a scientific proof who really built it. Now, in archaeology, you have five questions, as you probably know. The first one is what? What is this? Well, this is the pyramid complex. The second one, when? Well, over 30,000 years ago.
Amazing. 30,000 years.
Yeah. Third one, who? We don't know by who. Number four is how. Well, we are getting elements of how. The best quality concrete, the most precise orientation, the huge network of underground tunnels.
Okay, before we go to break, Sam, I got a couple questions. Then we have to go to break. Then we'll come back. We'll have a full half hour or two to wind this up. I've got a question from Mark Da Silva. He says, can the signal be blocked? Can the 28 kilohertz signal coming from the apex, can it be blocked? Did they try filters? Did they try aluminum? Did they try, you know, whatever?
Well, I do not know answer to that question, but I do believe that we are not the only one who knows about the existence of energy beam. I believe that NASA and some other intelligent services know about it.
Okay, so the next question connected to this is the signal coming down from the sky as opposed to coming up from the pyramid?
Now, that's a good question. According to the physicists, you have to have energy source 2,400 meters away from the top. It can be above or it can be below. Well, if it was above, then we could see this huge iron plate or huge spaceship above us emitting this electromagnetism, and we cannot see it. It's just 1.5 miles.
So
we think it is coming from below the pyramid. However, if the pyramid is a transmitter, emitter, and obviously it is, at the same time, it has to be an antenna. It has to receive the signals.
Mm.
So I'm sure that the signal goes both ways.
It has to be up a transducer, in other words.
Yes.
Okay, hold it there. We're at the bottom of the hour. One last half hour. Keith, pick something mysterious, because this is so mysterious. This is so cool. I mean, actual hard scientific evidence that you can go and kick the tires. Well, not maybe the tires, but it's something right here on Earth. It's not on Mars. It's not on the moon. It's not out of reach of our technology yet. All you have to do is go to Bosnia. I'm going to ask Sam when we come back when I can go and measure this damn thing, because I know it's going to light up the Actotron like Chichen Itza did. You're on the other side of midnight. My guest this morning is Dr. Sam Osmanagic. We're discussing the time horizon of 30,000 years for the previous high technology epoch that left pyramids in Bosnia the size of mountains and a mystery. What were they for? What, in fact, were pyramids all over the world for? We're going to talk about that when we come back. I'm Richard C. Hoagland. You're on the other side, and we shall return. And we're back on the other side of midnight, just after 2:30 here. And Adam, did you have anything else that you wanted to finish up with?
No, that was it. I just fascinated by this show. This is my favorite topic.
So, mine too. One of my favorite.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
All right.
Okay. Sam, we've got another caller, Darren. I think he has something he wants to ask you. Darren, you're on the air.
What an incredible show. This might be your best one ever.
Hey, it's just a guest. I just sit here and twist dials.
Man, this is incredible. If this thing's real, I can't believe that this is not being reported anywhere. I was wondering about the energy beams. Do you think they could have been sending energy to the moon?
Sam?
Well, the moon is very close in terms of this pyramid. I think it was probably for the communication between two different solar systems within our galaxy.
Much bigger then.
Well, think of this. You got a rotating planet, right? This thing is sitting at a latitude and longitude. The planet's spinning. The planet is tipped relative to its orbit, the ecliptic. Goes around in a year. So where is that beam, if you trace it across space, across the celestial sphere, accounting for precession in 30,000 years, right, Sam?
Yes.
What would it trace out in the sky? What stars does it cross over? My feeling is you might have some very major surprises with the stars that it intersects with in terms of that beam.
Well, we talk about five pyramids in Bosnia, maybe seven, because we have two more very interesting hills on topographic maps, but they do agriculture there. We cannot do any excavation.
Oh.
If it is seven, of course, the first idea, maybe they match the star system of Pleiades.
Except the Pleiades is not composed of seven stars.
Yeah,
it's either fewer or more.
Yes, seven is another nine, but total of at least 104.
Yes, exactly. Yes, but seven, Sam. Yes. Seven is the basis of the physics. Seven is the number of symmetry spins of a tetrahedron. You've got the beginnings of a tetrahedron and the placement of the three biggest pyramids in an equilateral triangle, which says two-dimensional equilateral triangle equals three-dimensional tetrahedron. Seven equals the symmetry spins of a tetrahedron. The physics is based on the tetrahedral geometry. The complex is saying to me, hyperdimensional torsion field physics. This is how we work.
Yes, wonderful. Now, I can see that there is another question they're asking about the photo number 10.
Yeah, let me go back to radio with pictures. We're going to look at image number 10, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, this image shows a big block that we discovered in the Bosnian pyramid tunnels. So far, we have cleared 1,750 meters. which is about 5,800 feet.
A little over a mile.
And yes, and this particular block's been found at about 750 feet from the entrance. We call it K2, Mega Ceramic Block K2. It has 8 tons. As you can see, it is sitting on support, which is very important archaeological proof that somebody...
Oh, somebody did it. Somebody placed it carefully.
Somebody chose this particular location, put a support, and then placed this block on top of it, and they even connected them with the binding material based on calcium carbonate. We took samples from this block, sent them to the Institute for Atomic Physics in Zagreb. They performed two very sophisticated analyses, Röntgen diffraction analysis and phase analysis. Their conclusion, it was definitely ceramic. If it is ceramic, it means made by intelligent hands.
Yep.
And then we used the GeoRadar instrument to see what's inside. You see it's about two-foot thick block. Well, according to GeoRadar, this block is made in two pieces, base and the lid, a cover. And secondly, in the middle, there is an oval object. Not air, not water, not ceramic, not metal, but mineral, and most probably quartz crystal. Now, this block is carefully located above the underground water stream. So what you have? Water moves, releases the energy. Energy hitting the quartz crystal, activating it. The quartz crystal starts working.
Mm-hmm.
It is surrounded by ceramic. The ceramic vibrates, producing electromagnetic field. And with the scientific instruments, we can measure the frequencies. And we measure two frequencies. One is 28 kilohertz.
Of course.
The other one is 7.83.
Oh.
So the first one, 28. So it tells us that this is actually a technology.
Yes.
Somebody was using different sources of natural materials, water, stream, negative ions, quartz crystals, ceramics, in order to get very specific frequencies.
Did you ever follow the work of Dr. Nikolai Kozarev in the old Soviet Union?
Yes.
So you know about his torsion work and all that.
Yes,
he was the guy who first, from my reading, discovered the torsion sensitivity of quartz. See, these materials are all transducers. If you vibrate them, they produce vibrations both ultrasonically, but they also produce torsion waves.
Yes.
If you use them as sensors, as detectors, and you wire them up to a computer, they can measure torsion field frequencies as little transducers intercepting the energy information stream flowing past them. Mm-hmm. Whoever designed this complex, Sam, was an exquisite master of torsion physics and technology, because these are all solid-state devices designed to amplify and to modulate at certain frequencies the emission.
Excellent. And now, more about the purposes. We noticed it improves molecular structure of the water. And guess what? Water is pure existence for us. It clears the air. It improves the food. You put the seed inside the pyramid, and after exposed to pyramid energy, it grows 30 to 200% quicker and richer. And then what we did, we used Professor Korotkov's instruments to measure the human aura, bioenergy field around our body. And we had a case of 160 people, male and female, old and young, and visitors, volunteers, workers, media reps. So we would measure their aura before they entered the tunnels.
Ah.
And after they came back, they would stay 1.5-2 hours inside. In 85% of the cases, the aura was improved. And the improvement was from 10 to 40%. And the biggest improvement was in the case of one student from Croatia. We told him actually what we were doing. Other cases, we would never tell them, you know, why we are doing this. But this guy, we said, okay, we've been measuring the aura field. So what he did, he went inside. He's sitting, you know, near this particular block, which is on our image, number 10.
Mm-hmm.
He was meditating with intention to, you know, improve, to make bigger his aura field. When he got outside, he had the biggest improvement.
Oh, my God, it's interactive.
So, So in
it responds to consciousness.
Exactly. So the power of intention. So it's a research after research after research telling us that the pyramid energy has been used on so many different levels.
Sam, this is so convergent with our work. We have got to compare notes. I've got to come over there with Robin and measure these damn things because I think I can show you some connections that are going to blow your socks off. Darren, do you have anything else for Sam this morning?
Yeah, I was wondering, did the Great Pyramids once have water? Because I know it was wetter back then.
Great question. Great question, Darren.
Of course it has water because the River Nile was 80 meters, 250 feet closer to Giza pyramids than today. And of course there were canals connecting pyramids with the River Nile. So water was always used as a very important element. You know, when they built in 1979 the pyramid close to Chicago, you know, it was like six-story residential building, which was replica 1 to 9 of Great Pyramid of Egypt. The guy who was building it, you know, he had his construction business. He was building it on clay. His property was clay, which is supposed to be waterproof. But when he was completing the pyramids, the water started coming from the underground. He completed the pyramid. He had an artificial lake telling us the pyramid has the power. It acts as the, you know, hydraulic pump, as the water pump. So the shape of the pyramid and then perfect orientation, east, west, north, south, makes the pyramid energy machine, sucks the water, but it sucks other energy forms from the underground.
This is so sophisticated. Darren, I'm sorry, we have to move on, but did you get your answer?
Yeah, I have a couple more questions.
Okay, well, we've got to share.
Yep.
Come on.
Yep, we got to share.
Say good night. Okay.
Good night.
Let's move on. Patrick, you've been patient. Go for it. Patrick, you're on the air.
Oh, hey, Richard. This is a fascinating show tonight. Just amazing. Amazing.
Well, what's so amazing, and Sam, you'll agree, is that there's no worldwide acclamation. There's no huge bands. There's no ticker tape parade. You're scribbling for money. You're getting people to donate. You're bottling water to try to pay for a project, and you're sitting on the biggest find in archaeological history.
Exactly. And you know what? Without the money, you always find the ways. You know, you go to Egypt or China or Peru, you see they keep a lot of secrets. You talk to their archaeologists, they tell you, oh, I cannot tell you, it's confidential. Well, why is it confidential? Egyptian pyramids do not belong to Supreme Council of
or Zahi, even though he thinks they do.
This is the cultural heritage of all of us.
Yes, yes.
That's why I said the Bosnian pyramids will be the most open archaeological project ever, and that's the reason why we take non-professionals, volunteers, every year. In the last 6 years only, we have had 2,250 volunteers, young and mature, from 62 countries and 6 continents. No secrets in our case. People come, they become a part of discoveries. They discover artifacts, they discover organic material, they discover new sections of concrete, they discover new, you know, tunnels under the ground. And that's what the science is about.
How do the academics explain away the concrete? I'm kind of confused.
Well, they're saying, well, it is possible that there is a natural concrete. It's possible. Well, I'll tell you what. It's not possible to have 10 scientific criteria fulfilled, perfect geometry, perfect orientation.
No, of course not.
Perfect concrete, you know, energy beams, all the, you know, tunnels, inner passageways.
Yes.
It is possible. Mother Nature does not do that.
Obviously, there is a river called Denial also in Bosnia. Okay. Patrick, anything else? Because we have tons of people.
I mean, he hasn't even asked the question.
I know. I didn't get a chance to. I wanted to say we're all blessed because you're able to do this independently without any oversight from anyone. And that's awesome because you're doing the science. I wanted to ask you about these spheres that I'm looking at on your website.
Yes. Now, the stone balls or the stone spheres, very interesting prehistorical phenomenon. 1940s, we know, southern Costa Rica, Palmar Sur, United Fruit Company, they were removing the jungle, wanted to plant the banana trees. They discovered with their big mechanization 294 stone balls from granodiorite, very hard type of granite. Somebody shaped them. Western Mexico, Pueblas Bolas, Ajualco, city of Ajualco, 250 volcanic stones. Are we still there? We are?
Yes.
Okay.
Hey.
Easter Island, I saw 7 stone balls there. New Zealand, just a few days ago in Egypt, southwestern Egyptian desert, limestone stone balls. Northern Albania, eastern Croatia, western Serbia, and in Bosnia, our little foundation has registered stone balls on 20 different locations built from different materials: volcanic stone, granite, sandstone, and limestone. And just last month, in March of 2016, we discovered the biggest stone ball in Europe. It has a diameter of almost 1.5 meter, 5 feet, extreme strong material, high iron content. So we use as for a density 5, so we got a mass of 32 tons.
Oh, my
32
God.
32 tons, perfectly spherical.
Any guesses as to what it was used for?
Well, we don't know yet. We did some measurements. We did some aura readings. We could notice once you come to the aura field of stone ball, your aura goes much, much higher, bigger, stronger. Your aura is bigger, you can develop your spiritual senses to raise your immunity. But this is probably just the secondary effect.
I
would say the location of the stone balls, always near the rivers, the location was very important. You put them in a big concentration. It is like you are getting a mini power plant, the tumulus.
Wonder if you took the stone ball, you put it in a river that was structured water, you let it absorb the energy, change whatever. Then you bring it back and you put it in the middle of your village, and it's kind of like a little campfire, mini pyramid in terms of the energies.
Perfect, perfect. And the pyramids, of course, are the big power plants.
Yes, yes. Okay, we have another caller. Good morning. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Houston, Texas.
Ah, Houston.
Hello, Houston. I'm from Houston also.
Except he's calling from halfway around the world this morning. So what's up?
No doubt. So I just got to thinking when I saw the picture of the beam, the artist's rendition of the beam coming out of the top of the pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
Is there some kind of global pop culture reference to this happening prior to this? I mean, I just got to thinking about the Luxor Pyramid in Las Vegas and a beam coming out of the top.
Oh, yes. Have you seen that, Sam?
I was sleeping in that hotel with my wife 3 years ago.
Oh, my God. I was called by the architect a few years ago, and they wanted me to do a presentation on Sidonia in that pyramid in Las Vegas. Unfortunately, nothing came of it, but it was an interesting idea.
Yes.
Hey, Richard, do you get a sense that maybe if there wasn't a previous reference to some sort of beam or information coming out of any sort of pyramid prior to the Luxor showing up in Vegas, you get a funny feeling that maybe this was somebody kind of throwing this in our face without actually being overt about it?
When you say someone, like, what do you mean, someone?
Architect, it's very possible. Sometimes people do stuff consciously, sometimes subconsciously, but I think that you're right. I mean, we have a lot of people on the planet belonging to all these, elite groups, Masons and the others. They know a lot about those secrets.
Right.
And they knew that energy beam going through the top of the pyramid is just one of the 3 energy flows linking to the pyramids. That's the first one going through the top. The second one is the energy flow within the pyramid. It hits one-third of the height, going up to two-thirds, coming back to one-third, and going down, completing the circle. And guess what? Kings and queens chamber in the great pyramid of Egypt are exactly on this energy flow, meaning they're exposed to this energy flow, which, slow down the aging process.
Well, look, I mean, take this and model it for Egypt. If the pyramids were not tombs, and we know they weren't, were they regeneration chambers to keep the pharaoh young?
Well, exactly right. Well, not pharaohs that we know of, the sons of gods, but maybe semi-gods or maybe the real gods. Of course, the pharaohs, we know that there are 3 phases, gods, semi-gods, and sons of gods. Sons of gods we know, 5,100 years.
Yeah, but remember, Manetho's lists go back 30,000 years.
But yes, well, Turin, Stella is going back 34,000 years.
I mean, doesn't this kind of converge? Don't you begin to see the big picture?
Of course, of course. Which lists basically all Egyptian pharaohs. Of course, those gods were more advanced beings. And then, yes, they probably used the pyramids for the rejuvenation purposes. And we have confirmed that in our case in Bosnia. Now, we notice that besides the very high concentration of negative ions in our tunnels, also, we don't have negative cosmic radiations because, you know, Richard, we are staying on the surface of the planet. We are exposed to a lot of radiation. Some of them are harmful. Our body cells fight them. In the Bosnian pyramid tunnels, 100 feet below the ground, no negative rays, no natural radioactivity. So the body cells can do their job. They can start fixing the problems. They can start the regeneration process. They can start the rejuvenation process. And plus, we are finding a lot of muscovite. And muscovite is a mineral which, according to some, slows down the aging process or even reverses it. So now we are, you know, it's been 10 years now of this Bosnian pyramid journey. And I know that we have done more than Egyptologists in 200 years. That's another thing why they don't like us. But I think we are just at the beginning of understanding how they did it, what kind of knowledge they had about our planet, minerals, energy sources, frequencies, vibrations. And it's always about the energy and frequencies and the vibrations.
Yep. Caller, any other questions?
Just on basically on the same topic of the beam, you know, were you the first person or the first group or site to find a beam emanating from a pyramid? Was it that your discovery, then the other two were found after that, or when did this all kind of come about?
Well, first of all, I discovered the pyramids. Me.
you deserve it, Sam.
In the spring of 2005, I, like I mentioned in the beginning, I came to visit the local museum, and then I saw this huge hill, four sides, triangular faces. And based on my 25-year experience with the pyramids in China, Mexico, Guatemala, I knew that most of them are actually still covered by soil. And guess what? In China, 3.5 feet of soil. In Mexico, in average, 3.5 feet of soil. In Bosnia, 3.5 feet of
soil.
Does
this say roughly the same time frame then?
Yes. Well, Chinese are for sure, 20 biggest one, are for sure over 12,000 years. How old? The Chinese government does not want to investigate them because it changes their history.
Of course.
They do investigate the smaller ones, which were made as replicas, but from inferior materials, mud bricks, but the biggest one from granite. In Egypt, the biggest one, granite limestone, later on, 12th, 18th, 24th dynasty, from the mud bricks. The same thing in Mexico, in Palenque. Mm. They think Temple of Inscriptions is the biggest pyramid. It's not. Left to it is the biggest one, three times bigger, but the Mexican government does not want to uncover it because it is the oldest.
Oh.
So obviously, the knowledge has been brought to Bosnia, China, Egypt, and Mexico. And then humans...
A global system, in other words.
Exactly.
Okay. Caller, we're going to move on. I've got other folks.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Okay, Mike, we're going to add you to the conversation. You're on the air.
Hi, Richard.
Morning.
Good morning, Sam. I was wondering if anyone has ever spent the night in...
Oh, what a super question.
Yes.
Napoleon apparently spent the night in the Great Pyramid of Giza, came up with gray hair.
Yep, yep, freaked out.
Or has there been any paranormal investigation done or multiple UFO sightings around the area?
Yes. All right. Well, I was in the Great Pyramid of Egypt just 7 days ago. It was in the middle of the night. Now, in the case of Bosnian pyramids, tunnels, this is where we let people go and spend the night. Yes. I mean, it happens almost daily. People come, they pay a little bit, $20. They spend the night from 10 p.m. till 6 or 8 a.m. And it depends on the level of your sensitivity. We have people who go there, who don't feel anything, who simply sleep, you know, 6, 7, 8 hours. Mm. And we have very sensitive people who start seeing beings, even though it is dark, there is no light, you know, during the night. They can see beings, they even communicate with them, they hear different sounds, so something is going on, you know, in there. So I wouldn't call that paranormal you know, investigation is, for me, it is normal investigation, you know. We just need to be aware that there is no only life in the range that we can see. There are so many life forms. In our case, in the Bosnian Pyramid Tunnels, we filmed, for example, thousands and thousands of orbs. These are intelligent light beings, spherical in shape, different sizes. They travel at different speeds. They go zigzag. Sometimes there are river of orbs that can be found on our website. So orbs are one of the type of beings which we cannot see with our naked human eye, except for a few very gifted persons. There are second, I call them foggy-like beings. They are a little bit more serious. Orbs are very joyful, very supportive.
Okay. Sam, unfortunately, we're coming to the end of the show, and I want to give you time to plug some things if you have things to plug. You're going to have a conference soon.
Yeah.
Where, when, how do people get tickets? How do they sign up? Is there a website?
Yes. Now, on my website, which is bosnianpyramid.org, bosnianpyramid.org, there is a list of events, and I do about 60 lectures a year. Last year, 45 cities, 17 countries. Next time I'm coming to the U.S. will be mid of May. It's May 13, May 15 in Chicago. There is a global pyramid conference. I will be talking two times. And then on 17th, I'll be having a lecture in Houston. And then on the 20th in Sedona, Arizona. So these are my three.
Oh, that's just next door. We should come over and meet.
There you go. 20th.
When are you going to be? 20th of May.
20th of May. I think 7 p.m. MUFON. MUFON is organizing the lecture.
Yeah, let me check dates and schedules. Well, look, we only got a few seconds left. This has been so amazing, Sam. We got to do this again. I've got some interesting research ideas. I've got some ideas about the other pyramids around the world. You know, our friend, our mutual friend Carl Monk has set up a numerical system that basically connects all these. So stay tuned, everyone, for part two. Tomorrow morning, and there's our music, tomorrow morning I'm going to stay for 2 hours and discuss how we're moving, where we're going, how you're going to be able to participate, how you can follow us, how you can join Club 19.5 again, and the things we're going to be able to do to help people like Dr. Sam proceed with his amazing research. Again, my hat's off to Dr. Osama Ganovich. We're going to be back tomorrow. Until then, remember, third star on the left, straight on till morning.